Was with us in the book of Luke, chapter number 8. Luke, chapter number 8. It's good to be saved tonight. Amen. Really saved. Glad I got the Holy Ghost inside of me. And I ain't got religion. I feel sorry for a lot in this world that's been lied to. It's got a false Christ. There's a lot out there that have. And I sure am glad that for some reason or another, He came to me in His realness. You know, I could have been led down some crazy road and said some crazy prayer and thought I had it. But instead, the Holy Ghost arrested me. And I don't remember. I don't have a clue what I said. Don't have a clue what I prayed. But I know He moved in. And that's what matters. And that's enough. That's what I'm depending on to get me to glory. It's what He done in my heart. And I bless His name. Amen. Luke chapter 8. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Holy Ghost. Thank You for grace tonight. Your goodness. Just being here with us, Lord. Thank You for mercy. I ask You tonight, Lord, for help. I pray, Jesus, Lord, that You take these, Your Scriptures, Your Word. I pray, God, that You'd open our hearts and our ears. Lord, let us hear what You've got to say. Take me and hide me behind the cross. And Lord, speak to us, including myself. Lord, I need to hear from You. Lord, I pray, God, that You'd help us tonight in these days that we live in. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Alrighty. Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 22. Bible says this. Now it came to pass on a certain day that He went into a ship with His disciples, and He said unto them, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." And they launched forth, but as they sailed, He fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to Him and awoke Him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." And then He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And He said unto them, "Where is your faith?" I'm afraid He's probably said that to me a few times. And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For He commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey Him." I'm interested in that phrase there in verse 22. He said, "Let us go over unto the other side." And I want to preach just for a little while tonight, Lord, helping us on the other side of the storm. The other side of the storm. And you know, I look at this, anytime you see the word sea, or this is the Sea of Galilee, as we know. If you see that word sea, it is a type of the world. And we see this ship here also in verse number 22. And this ship is in the sea, but it's not of the sea. And you know, that ship is made for the sea. And that ship is none less than a type of the church. And you know, you and I, this church here is in this world. This church is in this world, but it's not of the world. And I notice that a little further here, we see there's some shipmen. There's some sailors that's inside the ship, that's inside the world, but it's not of the world. And you and I are inside the church tonight by the blood of Jesus. And this church is right now inside this world, but we're not of this world. And I noticed, let's go a little further and look in this boat here as these sailors are in this boat. We see here that there's no doubts and struggles in this boat. There's some sadness. There's some situations that's faced. There's some grief and sorrow and shame even that's inside of this boat that we're going to look at here in a little bit. That's inside this boat. It's in the sailors, in the world. And you know what? You and I, there's some things that you and I face even though we're in the church. We face some things that's beyond our grasp and beyond our imagination. I don't see how. There's a lot of folks that go through things. I don't know how they face some of the things that they face. And then I sure am glad also in this boat, there's a Savior. Ain't you glad tonight that I love every one of y'all in here, but I sure am glad that there's more in the boat with me than y'all. And I'm sure y'all are glad that you ain't got to depend on me. But I'm glad that there's one that's in the boat that really matters. And He's all we need to get to the other side, amen, where help is and where this thing's going to land one day. He's going to see us through. Bless His name. I was thinking about these storms and boy, howdy. Everybody in the room here, this is the adults, We've got some age in here. Some could tell this story a whole lot better than I can. But, you know, I'm not short of storms. I've seen a few. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to go somewhere and say this, and you can repeat it in your mouth. I'm going to say my storm is worse than your storm. You know why my storm is worse than your storm? Because it's happening to me. And I'm going to say that your storm is worse than my storm because it's happening to you. And we all face difficulties. We all face times in life. And you know what? It's a simple little word. It's called life. There's nobody. I don't care how wealthy you are. I don't care if you've got all the money that you can spend and can't get rid of it fast. You're still going to have trouble. I don't care how poor you are. I don't care. It don't matter how rich, how poor, how smart you are. It don't matter. All these things, nothing matters. Everybody that's in the boat is going to face difficulties in life. Am I right about it? I'm talking about everybody. You look in your life, some of you got some age on you, you can look back through the years and you can see people that's faced things that's just unimaginable. And it's just life, isn't it? And I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I got news for you. There's never a time to where you're going to master the storm. Because the storm's always going to be in your life. You're always going to have storms. But I'm glad that He's in the boat. I think about, I'll use them for an illustration. I don't think they're here tonight. I don't think Miss Peggy's here. But I was talking to Brother Dennis a little earlier over there about Miss Peggy, my wife's mother, and Gerald. And I was looking at their... I was thinking about this when I was studying this message. I was thinking about what they've been through in the last 2 years. I think Miss Peggy, a couple years ago, was diagnosed with a minor cancer, we say. But I don't know if that's a proper word, because anytime cancer is tagged on your name, it's major. Now think about that. And you know, that's something right there that'll bring you to your knees. And then we go on a little further. She's fighting that and fighting that. And then Gerald's got something in his throat. And he fights that, and the doctors give him some medicines, chemo and all this, that, and other. And then they say, we ought to take that thing out. He goes to the hospital, and y'all know the story, most of you do. He goes to Birmingham, and they take that out. He's in the hospital weeks upon weeks, and they think he's literally on his deathbed. We didn't think he was going to make it. Peggy's over there with cancer in the hotel over there trying to take care of him, and many of you help with this, and that's struggling. They get home, still battling. Gerald can barely take care of himself now. He can barely get around, barely do anything. Has no strength about him. Peggy goes the other week, and she has some kind of glands, lymph nodes, or whatever, cut out from under her arm, still battling the cancer. Gerald, the other week, fell, broke his ribs. That's a storm. That's a storm. And you know what? The fact is, as we pray for them in there, and as I every day I call their names specifically out in prayer and pray for their needs. And others, we call their names out and pray for their needs. You know why I do that? Because I know that any time my name could be on your lips in your prayer closet. I could get a phone call. You could get a phone call. You could get a text. In right here, people knowing you're in church, they could text you right now. And you would dart to that door right there. And you would leave here heading to where you need to be only because storms are no respecter of persons. But there is another side. There is another side. Notice with me, I want us to look at this command in verse number 20. There's a command. He said, hey, he went into a ship with his disciples and he said unto them, let us go over to the other side. There is a command. And you know what? It is a simple command. It's not a book. It's not a lot of instructions. He just said, hey, let's get in the boat and we're going to the other side. And they went in the boat. There they took off. They launched forth. You know, God in heaven, the Lord Jesus, He's given us a command to get into this boat. And I'm glad that one day in 1981, July the 29th, I got in the boat and I didn't have a clue about anything that I was getting into. I didn't know what I was getting into. I didn't know what I was going to face. I didn't know what life was going to throw at me as a Christian. But I just followed Him just like He asked Matthew, just like He asked Simon Peter, Andrew, and all the disciples. Follow me. And they followed Him. You and I got in the boat whenever the day was that you got saved. You got in the boat with Him. And you are going to the other side. You are on this boat with Him. And you're heading somewhere with Him. But there's going to be storms that you're going to face. It's a simple command. But it's also, let's look at the sudden part of this, the sudden day of it. I want you to understand that this storm of wind, it says that as they sailed, he fell asleep, there came down. There came down a storm of wind on the lake. You know what? They didn't have Glenn Burns. They didn't have this fella, I can't even think of his name now, the guy, Alabama 33, the one, they didn't have him to tell them, don't sail tomorrow, there's going to be a storm out on the lake. Now, Jesus knew, but He really didn't care because He went to sleep. He knew everything's going to be all right. But you and I and these disciples here, we did not know that this storm was coming. And isn't that the truth? You and I, listen, anybody in here that's ever been in a storm, anybody that's ever been in a storm, did somebody tell you in 2020 that in 2021 you was going to face the thing that was going to rock your world and destroy your life? Did somebody give you news of that? No. It come on you all of a sudden and you had no warning of the storm. It's tough, isn't it? It's simple, it's sudden. Sort of sounds like we're being set up, don't it? Boy, you listen to the devil and he'll tell you everything. You got it worse than anybody in the whole world. Ain't nobody fighting what you're fighting. Ain't nobody facing what you're facing. And he will lie to you constantly and tell you stuff in your ears. And he'll set you on a pedestal. And you will, I'm telling you what I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. He'll get you to thinking that there ain't nobody got it as bad as you do. Am I right about it? And I noticed something else about this command. I believe it's not only simple, and it's sudden, but it's also sovereign. It's sovereign. You see what? When I got saved, When I was born again, I was bought with a price. You see, I'm not my own, the Bible said. Paul said that I don't belong to myself anymore. I belong to Christ. I'm His, and thank God I am. Name but two that you belong to. One of them's the devil and one of them's the Lord. And I'm glad I belong to the Lord tonight. But you know what? It is a sovereign command because God, Jesus said, get in the boat. And when I got in the boat, I do not get to pick my storm. You know, as we look across this building and as we look across our acquaintances outside this building, and we think about the storms that they face. We've got some that face cancer. We've got some that face financial problems. We've got some their house burns. We've got some that, you know, and we can go on and on and on with different difficulties that we face in life, health-wise and family-wise. You know, all kinds of things that makes us weep and cry. But you don't get to pick those things, do you? You don't get to sign up when you get on the boat. I want a balcony seat. I want a seat on the inside of the ship. I want a seat by the, you know, close to the restroom. You don't get to pick all that. You don't get to pick. I'll take a bout with cancer. I'll take a bout with divorce. I'll take a bout with my children going crazy. I'll take this, right? You don't get to pick that. You get the storm that He sovereignly allows in your life. You see, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He made you. He breathed the breath of life inside of you. He knows what you're made of. And He knows exactly what it'll take to break you and make you and conform you into the image of His Son. He knows what it takes. Why this one deals with financial difficulties. While this one, you know, there's some folks that deal with financial difficulties. Don't ever go throwing rocks at people that are not as well off as you are. Somebody ought to pop your jaws. There's folks that hadn't got anything, and it's not because they wasted their money. That's just where they're at. There's people that suffer with financial difficulties. Then there's people that suffer with family difficulties. I've heard folks throw rocks at people because they have marital problems. I've heard folks throw rocks at people because their children have went to the wayside. Honey, keep your rocks in your pocket. That's what God has put in their life. Then there's some that have struggles with their health. You know as well as I do, these people that eat right, eat a whole lot better than I do, have taken, you know, it's a joke around it. I've been mean to my body. I'm just telling you, I'm not good to my body. But it seems like I'm just blessed. I don't deal with that difficulty. I don't fight that battle. I may fight it tomorrow. But there's certain ones that do. And it's not because they didn't take care of it. Bless God, if they took care of themselves, they wouldn't be dealing with these heart attacks. Somebody needs to pop your jaws. I'm not tired of religious folks that knows how to get up and point everybody else's faults out. Amen? And say, this is why you're going through this. This is why you're facing that. If you'd have done it this way, you'd have been better off. Hush. Somebody else say hush. And amen? That's the truth. It's a sovereign command. You better believe God's in control of this thing. And you better be glad that He is. Amen? You know why? Because He's on the boat and He is going to the other side. And if you're on there with Him, you may have a little water splash in your face. You may have a little lightning pop close to you. But honey, when it's all said and done, there's another side to the story. Hallelujah. Not only the command, but also let's look at the calamity. Let's look at this calamity here. Verse 23, it said, it came down a storm. Isn't that amazing? I wonder where that come from. Come from God. I noticed these fierce winds that must have been blowing. Can you imagine? these little boats here. Now, this is not the Princess of the Seas. This is not the celebrity cruise ship. This is not something as long as from here to the red light and back. This is a little old bitty boat that you probably could have fit two of them on this stage here if they was big ones. So this thing, on any kind of water, I wouldn't want to be in Lake Tyfinger in this thing with a big storm out there, let alone in a lake or a sea that's been known to have ferocious storms. So I noticed these winds, these fierce winds that are blowing around them. Can you imagine what it must have felt like? You know what? These fierce winds inside this boat, they may blow you down while you're in the boat. You see some of these fishing shows on TV. You see some of these shipmen that are on them ships as that boat's a moving and a tossing and a turning. These sailors, guess what they'll do? They'll get knocked down a time or two. But I got news for you tonight. You may fall down in the boat, but you won't fall out. I've fell down in the boat a few times, but I got news for you, I've never fell out. There's fierce winds, but then there's frightening waves. There's frightening waves. These wake ain't nothing. I don't understand these surfers. You know, I ain't crazy about water no way. I like still waters. It's biblical water, amen. We used to go up yonder. We used to go up there to Nantahala to take the youth when I had the youth back here. And we'd go up there and it's all I could do. I'd have psyched myself up just so we could go down that little bitty Nantahala River and it wasn't that bad dangerous. I don't like it. Because you can drown in it. Yeah, man? You can die in that mess. So I can imagine these huge, huge waves as we see them coming towards the boat. Can you imagine the damage that they might do? How intimidating. Is anything that you faced in life just flat out intimidated you? Just flat out just made you feel this tall and that you wasn't going to make it? Fierce winds, frightening waves, and the feeling of water. Feeling of water. As they standing inside this boat here, and they're going every which way. This water's literally coming inside the boat. I think it's Mark chapter 4 that talks about the boat was full. I don't understand how a full boat floats unless Jesus is on board. It just don't happen. It may be some big scientific fact, but I believe that a boat that's full of water means it's about to go under. Or it's ought to have done been under. But when Jesus is on board, He's got great buoyancy. The filling of water. You can feel like everything is filling your life up. Everything's just overloading you. And everything is going to take you under soon. Anybody ever felt like that? But you know what? It's not going to happen. Because Jesus can't drown. He can't drown. The command, the calamity. But now I want to look at this just for a second. The chaos. Now we ride in this boat with them now. We've seen this storm coming. We've seen this, the calamity there. But now let's look at these 12 on this ship here. 13 souls that's on the ship here. And we see the Lord, He's asleep. So we're going to leave Him asleep over there. And we see 12 more in there. And what would you think they're doing? Are they having prayer meeting? Absolutely not. They're probably hoping. This one's probably saying this. And this one over here saying, the Lord's going to hear you what you just said if you don't. You're going to wake Him up in a minute. And you know, while we're on this boat, the chaos, can you imagine the loudness that you might have heard? There's no telling the loudness in this chaos. There's no telling what was said. You imagine now, we got 12 sailors. Most of them sailors. That was their occupation. Most of them were sailors.
And can you imagine when everything, I don't know if I'm the only one, when everything goes wrong, I sort of, my fuse just spow. Am I the only one who does that? Anybody else got a short fuse? Anybody else, when everything goes wrong, you feel like pulling your hair out, you feel like just screaming?
Yep.
Can you imagine these 12 men on board when everything is going wrong? They all know what to do. They all know how to do it. This one's trying to say, pull the rudder. This one's trying to say, no, no, raise the sail. This one's trying to say, throw out that extra weight. This one's trying to say, do this and do this and do this. Can you imagine how this one got mad at this one and cussed this one out? And this one up here, probably, don't say it, he probably popped one of them in the jaw. They're all mad and they're all tore up about what's going on in the boat. It's chaotic. It's chaotic in there. You better believe they're not in there, row, row, row your boat. Somebody wake the Savior. You hear that at Olsteen's church. That ain't what happened. They were Baptist in there. I'm telling you they was. They was, listen. I know some of y'all folks. You get in a situation, you're going to tell what you think. And some of you already, I know you, and you've done told me, amen, so I know what you would have done. And you know what? These guys here, they was doing the same thing. They was telling it like they thought it ought to happen. You idiot! If you don't do this, we're going to die. Am I right? I mean, there was some hatred. There was some teeth gritting. There was probably somebody throwed a pail, you know, hit somebody. I'm talking about it got rough on it. Isn't that the way we act a lot of times in the house of God? You think how crazy that is. But we act the same way, don't we? You know what? I don't know a whole lot, but I've learned this. That, you know, this family here, or this family over here, this one, whoever the family is, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying their best. They're trying their best. Do you think anybody ever wakes up in the morning, yawns, hits their feet on the floor there, and says, I'm going to see how I can wreck my life today. I believe I want to see how bad I can make it on my family today. Let me see. No, it ain't bad enough. You know what? Everybody in here is trying to make it. I'm trying to do my part. You're trying to do your part. And listen to me now. I want us to act like, and the Lord would have us to act like, we're brothers and sisters and we're on the same boat heading for the same shore. Amen? That's the way we should act. Instead of at one another's throats, instead of trying to tell somebody to hush, talk mean to somebody, chop somebody down, tell them I know more about this than you do. Where are you at? Why ain't you rowing? Why ain't you helping get the sail up? Why ain't you doing this? Listen, I'm doing the best I can. It's loud on board. No telling what was being said. But I thought about this too. The looks that they must have saw on board. It's night time now. Even come. Done got dark. Sunset. Clouds hid the moonlight. And you know what? Darkness is scary anyway. But every once in a while, the devil would... You know what that does? It lights everything up and gives you a split-second glimpse. And here's this massive 12-foot wave, 6 foot in front of you, that's fixing to literally overtake the whole entire ship, drown all 12 disciples and Jesus. And then dark hits. Can you see that? Down on the boat, pow, lightning hits. There's that big, huge wave. It's dark again. And this is happening for hours. It's
It's just wearing them down and wearing them down and wearing them down. And can you relate to that? Can you relate to a storm? Can you relate to how that a storm is not just a come and go thing to where it comes on Monday and Tuesday morning it's gone and you say, that was bad. But that's not the way it works. This will come Monday, and it's going on and on. It's still going. And Tuesday, something new comes. Wednesday, something new comes. Thursday, something new comes. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, something new comes. And it piles on and piles on and piles on. And it's just nerve-wracking. We wonder where depression comes from. We wonder where anxiety comes from. I'll tell you where it does. It's not riding the boat properly. Listen to me. Loudness and looks. There's labor on board. They're working. They're tired. They're wore out. I love every one of y'all. And I appreciate every Christian in this room and others outside of here. And I appreciate, and I know you do, because if you say the Lord will have you do it, I appreciate every time that you fall on your knees. And you, I ain't talking about praying for me. I appreciate you praying for this church. I appreciate you praying for the leadership, the pastor of this church. I appreciate it. You know why? Because that's your job. And you know what? I'm not ignorant enough to think that you're not facing a storm and don't feel like praying. I'm not ignorant enough to think that you're not facing something difficult in your life and you do not feel like coming to church, but you're here tonight. I appreciate it. I admire it. Everybody's tired. Everybody's wore slap out. I mean, I'm telling you, these days, to where if one more person called me and asked me this, or how much is this, or what is that? Whoo, help me, Lord. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It gets like that, don't it? It's where they're at. They're in the storm. They're in the deep struggle of their life. But here's the kicker to this chaos. We're nearly done. The kicker to this chaos is they're on lockdown. You know what about your storm? You know what the worst part about your storm is? You can't get out. If you could, you would. I promise you, you would. But the worst part is you cannot swim to shore. You know you would drown. So you are stuck in the storm. Now you're down and out. I got to get you out of it, ain't I? Stuck. Boy, we're in a place. We look at it and we focus on the winds. We focus on the waves. We focus on the water. We feel the water. All five of our senses. We smell. Can you imagine something we don't think about a lot on this boat? Can you imagine how many of these boys, when four out of ten people get seasick when they get out of the side of land, can you imagine how much vomit was on this boat? So all five of their senses is working properly. And they can smell it, they can hear it, they can feel it. All of them. I mean, I'm telling you, they can see it, a glimpse. It's bad, I'm telling you. It's tough. It's tough. But we see the command, we see the calamity, we see the chaos. But now let's look. Verse 24. And they ceased and there was a calm. Calm. I like that. I like calm. I just like to chill. You know what I'm saying? I like to chill out, just calm down, just. I like resting. I'll help you do that any day you want to do it. I enjoy it. Amen. Cup of coffee, sit in a recliner there. Calm. I guess that's an old thing, isn't it? It just did, but I enjoy the fire. The older I get, the more I love it. Calm. what I'm hunting. It's what everybody's hunting. But you know what? That's not always the Lord's prescription. Ain't that something?
If we had our way, we'd
come to church on Sunday. We'd hear the preacher preach. We'd say, "Amen. What a great sermon, Brother Ken." We'd come Wednesday night. "Oh, that was some good teaching. That was good. Appreciate that. I'm going back to my easy chair. I'll see you Sunday." And boy, we'd just get in a rut. We're very habitual people. I'm habitual. I don't like out of the ordinary. And believe me, you don't neither. I want to know what I'm doing tomorrow. I want to know what I'm facing. And I like to know so much that when I get into bed at night, I sit there and lay there and think about it. How am I going to handle this tomorrow? I'm looking at the walls till 3 in the morning. You know what? The Lord don't always prescribe calm, and He don't always want you to know what you're going to face, and He don't always want you to have a calm day. You know why? Because you'll get complacent and you'll get lazy, and before long, this flesh, this stuff right here, you know what it'll do? It'll sit in that recliner. And before long, you'll get to the place to where your prayer is a nursery rhyme. You remember that which you used to pray when you said, "Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." And you know, everybody in here, most everybody could stand up and say that prayer right now. Why? Because you've memorized it. And your prayer life, if you're in a calm situation all the time, it'll be something that your mind does and not your heart. God's not enriched your mind. Your mind is wicked. God loves your heart. So what He'll do is say, "Hey, come on. Let's go over yonder to the other side." And you say, "Yeah, it's been a good day today. I just had such a good day." And you know what? You done stepped on the gangplank. You got on board. You kicked back over in your easy chair. And for about a mile, you've had some smooth sailing. And all of a sudden, it comes down. And we got a calm, though. A calm. When He stood up, He calmed it down. I've read writers on this that says, and the Lord did rebuke them. He rebuked them for waking Him out of His sleep. Read Matthew's account. Read Mark chapter 4, Mark's account of this same passage here. They marveled at how He could speak to the wind, and they marveled at how He could speak to the waves, and there's a great calm. But the fact of the matter is, He wanted them to ride out the storm. How do you do that, preacher? It's hard. You got to trust Jesus. In the middle of everything in your life, and I'm preaching to me, I'll turn around if you want me to and I'll preach this away. But I'm telling you that in the middle of everything being chaotic and crazy and falling slop apart in your life, you're going to have to trust Him or you are going crazy. I know folks that's lost it. I know folks that, listen, their cheese is slid off their cracker. And that's the truth. You know why? Because they didn't trust the One asleep on a pillow in the ship. He said, "Let us." He said, He didn't say, "Take me to the other side." He said, "Let us pass over to the other side of the lake." He said, "We're going, boys." And you know what? I believe with all of my heart that Jesus saved my soul. I belong to Him. I'm a child of God. And absolutely, absolutely, if I live long enough, I'm going to face another storm. And I dread the fire out of it. I don't like storms. I hate them with a passion. But the fact is, He's going to put them in my life. And I'm going to face them with Him by the grace of God. Now I'm going to give you this and I'm done. In this calm, there's some lessons learned. Brother Ken will vouch for this. Daddy will. Some of y'all that's teachers, some of you, you'll vouch for this. Listen, Brother Ken, see if this ain't true. Every good thing that you've learned about God come from a storm. You probably won't believe it, but I've got a bachelor's degree in theology, and I can't remember a thing in the world they taught me. That's the truth. But I can take you back to some instances in my life. Now listen to me close. I can take you back some times to where I was going under. I was convinced of it. I was done through. I knew I wasn't going to make it. And you know what? I learned some things out of that I'll never forget. And you that have been through storms, you that have been through the struggles of life, you have learned 2, 3, 5, depending on how old you are, you've learned a few lessons in your life that you'll never forget. And listen to me now. I'm going to give you this. Simon Peter's on this boat. Think about this. Simon Peter's on this boat. You flip them pages just a little bit. You know what Simon Peter's fixing to do next storm they get in? I'm going to get out there and walk on this mess. Reckon he learned anything from this storm in the next storm? You know what? Me and Miss Amy, one time, things got bad on us, and I've told it probably before, but we didn't have food to eat. Had credit cards that was maxed out. And that's tough for kids. It's tough. It's hard. And I didn't know what to do. And we come home once. I was pastoring, doing everything that I knew to do right. I wasn't in the world, but We didn't have nothing, did we? Didn't have nothing. Not even any ramen. We didn't have no ramen noodles. We got home, Brother Ken, from church one Sunday, and got on the back porch. And I don't know who did it. Maybe somebody in here. I thank you for it. But on the back porch, at our door, was 10 or 12 bags of groceries that somebody left. And you know what? I really believe that I learned something in that storm. And I believe it's this. If He's God enough to feed the sparrows, He's God enough to roll a buggy through Walmart and fill every bag up and drop it on one of His children's doorsteps. So I ain't worried about that no more. Here's how strong I believe you'll have squirrels laid on the front porch, cleaned and dressed, ready for squirrel dumpling. I ain't worried about it. Now there's other things that this old mind will worry about. I don't know how I would act if cancer was to come. I don't really know. Some of you face that. Some of you've been down that road. Some of you've had heart issues. Some of you've been under the knife multiple times. I don't know how I would deal with that. But you do. This ship, I noticed there in verse number 26, if you want to look at it, first three words, and they arrived. Didn't say we lost Peter. Didn't say old Bartholomew, he tried his best, but he fell over back there. Wasn't she glad? Ain't you glad that when this thing lands, if you're a child of God, you're going to step out on dry ground? Boy, we're going to be on another place. Thank God. Thank God. I am just passing over to the other side. Amen. Bless you.